foot on the PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, get cozy, comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build a world. And when the convo ends, we break it down and begin again. Yeah. Sit down, tune in, crank it. It's time to bring your own blanket. Blanket Ninjas.
Blanket Ninjas, welcome to season 2, yoga edition of BYO Blanket,
hey.
A podcast where we get cozy, discuss interesting topics to uplift, inspire, and contribute all of
inside.
It inside a blanket fort. Before we start, Janan, I'm sorry, Spork, and Janan, you had something to say.
I'm Janan. Hello. Thank you for listening so much.
Yay.
We love you just for listening. And if you would like to go a step farther to compete for more of our love, here's what you do.
It's a competition, by the way.
Here's what you do. That was a joke. Here's what you do. You go to patreon.com/BYOblanket. If you've listened to the show, you've heard the spiel a million times. Why haven't you gone yet, lady or man sitting in their car or gender neutral person? Go to patreon.com/BYOblanket. Contribute to the show. We'd love to continue doing this for you guys. And bonus, when you sign up, you get some cool BYO blanket swag. We just got beer coasters in.
We have, yeah, and we also have new stickers.
Yeah, we have new stickers as well.
New swag, you guys.
That have our faces. So anyway, if you can't donate monetarily, go to iTunes, review us, say things
five
about
stars.
Us that are nice. Put 5 stars if you liked it, and, you know, be honest if you don't. And that's all I had to say. Thank you so much for listening. Back to you, Maria.
Thank you, Janan. And welcome, everybody. Like Janan said, I'm Maria.
And I'm Janan.
Wow, you're Janan. Awesome. I'm so excited about today's episode.
We have someone who does not teach at Big Power Yoga regularly.
I mean, hello.
What? Y'all, welcome Gioconda Parker.
Hi. Woo! Hi. So excited to be on the show today.
Gio, where do you live?
I live part-time in Austin, Texas.
Part-time?
Part-time in Austin, Texas, and part-time in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
How did I not know that?
What? Also the accent, I don't know.
Yeah, that's cute.
It's my accent of when I don't know things.
It's funny when she British. Teaches and she does it, and then she's just like, why did I do it?
It just happened.
Twisted chair.
Yeah.
It's the best. Twisted chair pose. Anyway, thank you so much for driving from Austin.
Not
just
even
to
that.
Be on the show, but you just did drive from Austin.
And she also just got back from Kenya.
Yeah, so we could say I actually flew in from Kenya for the show.
Whoa.
Literally.
Which you are takes listening.
Because we are level. V special.
Yes. This is one of the most important podcast episode of all yoga time. So
listen up.
Yes. Well, Gioconda, tell us a little bit about yourself that we don't already know.
Okay, let's
or actually
see.
Just anything we already know because no one knows you who's listening.
So,
Spork!
I've been teaching yoga for 21 years, so I like to say my practice is now legal to drink.
I love that.
Amongst other things. And I specialize in vinyasa flow style yoga, which is sort of the combination of everything that I love. Aside from that, I also have a master's degree in spiritual psychology.
What?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Which, who even knew? I didn't, you know, if I'd known that earlier, I might have gotten that master's degree earlier, but I just finished that degree about 7 years ago, and then I am a somatic experiencing practitioner.
So what is somatic experiencing practitioner?
Somatic experiencing is a body-based trauma therapy style developed by Dr. Peter Levine, who's one of my all-time lifetime heroes and incredibly inspiring teachers. And it's a trauma therapy that's based in the truth that we all have within us what we need to heal. We all have within us what we need to be our most powerful selves. Just sometimes we need a little support along the way to remember that.
They say all learning is remembering.
That's really good.
It's a quote, not by me. It's not Oscar Wilde. We'll figure it out.
Anyways.
Listeners, comment if you know the quote. who says that quote? All learning is remembering.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Somatic, what is it?
Somatic experiencing.
Is that like tapping?
It's not, although they're similar. They're in the same similar range, but somatic experiencing just says that the trauma that we experience is stored in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to unlock it, we have to be able to re-experience things, but in a safe place, and then resolve the outcome. So in other words, what we would have liked to have occurred, we get to go back, re-experience it, and then...
Like clearing timelines.
Resolve.
Clearing a timeline, if you were to say it in terms of light year leadership.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. I'm not familiar with that, but that sounds very similar. It's the idea of, yes, being able to go back and retrieve whatever energy is stuck, because that's what happens, right? We have energy that's trapped, and when energy is trapped,
so then interesting.
It blocks us. So
I totally believe in that, because I've, you know, my yoga teaching career is just now getting into kindergarten.
Oh my god, I love that.
It can go out
so
to drink
like
with
five
you.
Years yeah. Good. Yes, it can go out for a drink, but I'll have to buy.
Yeah. So in the five, and I've only been practicing 5.5 years. So I got my teacher training done right away. In that small amount of time, I like there are different layers of healing I've experienced, and I've always noticed that until I am in a safe environment in terms of like my community, like who I'm with, what's going on mentally with me, that's when a layer will come up that then I'm able to process. Because if that layer had come up before I did my yoga, or, you know, when I was still like a bad kid doing drugs and all that, that may have ended badly for Janan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you find that the somatic, oh my God, say it again.
Somatic experiencing. Or S-E.
S-E. Do you feel like S-E, like yoga has a lot of part, like is there a Venn diagram where yoga and S-E overlap?
Absolutely. But then again, because I've been doing yoga for so long, everything I study, I'm like, oh my God, it's yoga. And I'm like, but it's like a new insight on yoga, or it's like another tool in the set of tools that yoga, I feel like, already is for us. But like exactly what you're saying, this idea that you can't try a pose until you're ready to try the pose. Yeah. And you get ready to try the pose because of everything you've done before.
You're blowing our minds.
I know. This is what, Spork, the book, The Body Keeps Score?
Yes. The Body Keeps the Score is by Basil van der Kolk, who's also like friends and sort of collaborated with Peter Levine, both of them working in their own way with patients. And they definitely learned from each other and colleagues, which is also so great when you start to realize, like, whenever something is sort of coming, whenever something is coming out, like there's richness to it, there's always like a group of brilliant people who are not competing but collaborating with each other and pinging off of each other and learning from each other. So I just think of like the Impressionists or the Beat Poets, and we have people like this in yoga. We have these pods of people in yoga who sort of get together and inspire each other. So Basil van der Kolk and Peter Levine definitely connected, as well as Ida Rolf. So there's a lot of, there's like people in the bodywork world that overlapped with these people in the therapy world and scientists. And Dr. Peter Levine was actually more on the scientific end of things and has come like all the way back around to being like an incredible healer.
Where did you get your degree from?
My master's degree I got from Sophia University, which is formerly known as the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology in Palo Alto, California.
Ooh, what a badass place to go to school.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Nice. Yeah, that doesn't suck at all. Yeah,
nice.
So getting to travel and be in that area was really rich place for study and growth, for sure.
I love it. Also, let's introduce a topic for this episode. I realized we started talking. We're just like, oh my God, we're learning so much.
We've been in such a great vinyasa.
We have been in a great vinyasa.
We have been in a great vinyasa.
So, Gioconda, tell us what the topic is for today.
Well, as a matter of fact, the topic for today is vinyasa.
Wow.
That's shocking.
And specifically, like you mentioned it before we started recording, like vinyasa in terms of what?
Vinyasa in terms of, well, the meaning, maybe we just start by unpacking the meaning of vinyasa. So vinyasa, all Sanskrit words have a root, and then many of them have a modifier. So the root word of vinyasa is niyasa, which means to put or place. And vai is the modifier, which means in a special way. And when you put it together, to put or place in a special way, what's implied is to create a desired outcome. So a lot of people think of vinyasa yoga as a style of yoga that has movement and breath, which is great because movement is part of the practice. Because anytime you put things together, there has to be something that connects them.
There's always a transition.
There's always a transition, right? And to me, like the transition is definitely part of the practice of vinyasa. And then the things that you choose and how you put them together are then ultimately, if you have a wise vinyasa, which of course you can be wise or unwise, a wise vinyasa would be a vinyasa that's put together to create a desired outcome. And how you would know it's successful is if you land somewhere that you meant to be, or at least are moving in the direction that you want to go.
Abhipos.
Yes, exactly. So,
Shavasana.
Shavasana is always the peak pose. Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, vinyasa style yoga class, right, could be a class that's moving towards a peak pose. But in a greater context, which I'm so excited to talk about both sides of that, in a greater context, to me, vinyasa has come to mean, like, how am I setting myself up for the way that I want my life to feel? And that has a lot to do with what I prioritize, how I put my day together, how I put my year together, how I put my life together. Sort of being at what I like to say the midlife passage. I've definitely got a lot more attention these days on like the ultimate vinyasa. Like, how do I want to look back on how I've spent my time? What do I want to leave behind when I move on? And just thinking about midlife passage and looking at what do I want to leave behind? How do I want to live my life so that in my end years, I feel good and happy about that? And in general, as I've been looking at that, realizing that yoga is such a rich place for all of us to have more awareness about how we're setting ourselves up for the kind of life that we want to live and to be able to make those conscious choices every day to land in that place.
I do love the idea of looking at life, not just, and even every day, but I mean the big life, why am I here on earth type of life. I love looking at it through the lens of, well, let's compare this to just a yoga class, right? Which seems so simple. We all do it, whatever, not a big deal. I do 5, 6, 7, I don't know, however many practices a day. And just looking at it through the lens of, okay, I need to warm up. If I'm sequencing, right, if it's something outside of just like a more structured flow, it's like, okay, I want to do this pose, so I need to warm up this. I need to, these are the steps, the little baby steps. And you start dissecting it in a way where it's, first of all, just a lot easier to process instead of thinking, well, I want to change the world. So there's these little increments that just now seem like smaller goals, like just really easier or just better to process, better to get there. And
sequencing back from the peak pose, you mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, a specific, instead of saying I want to change the world, I could say I want to make pads for women in India. So it's really specific. And then I can create that little plan going back to like where I am right now.
Absolutely.
And then that, in that way, you're saying like yoga practice is a metaphor for exactly that.
It is. And I think that awareness, that attention, intentional moving is really a pathway to transformation.
Absolutely.
Instead of just autopiloting through life.
Being awake and recognizing, for instance, if we take it from the mat, every time that you take your arms out to the front of the mat in a child's pose, ultimately you're preparing for a handstand. and it's not a handstand in that moment. So you stay present to the child's pose that it is. But when you start to connect the dots where you go, okay, child's pose, arms out in front of me, downward facing dog, getting stronger, and arms overhead, and from there into handstand, then you're like, I'm not just doing child's pose, and yet I'm totally present to child's pose.
Yeah, it's both at once. It's the paradox that we often talk about.
The paradox.
The paradox of opposites. It's like a spork. You've been saying and so much. And I really like how much you've sporked yourself, Gia.
I'm getting better at it.
You're okay, on it.
So, train of thought, come back. Choo-choo, where'd you go?
Should we insert sound effects there?
No. I thought mine was good enough. It's all good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about the cough.
There's no reason to be sorry for bodily functions. Sorry, I peed earlier. I was saying something about, what I take away from my vinyasa practice, because I practice Baptiste Power Vinyasa Yoga. I think that's the longer name of it, Baptiste Power Vinyasa Yoga.
That's like the middle name and the extension. Yeah. Yep, the whole thing.
So there still is plenty of vinyasa in the power yoga that I do. And I see it as like, both must be true. I both must have the step and the entire journey. So in that article I was telling you about that I read by Shiva Ray explaining vinyasa and how it's different than just what you said, oh, it's a bunch of movements. Mm-hmm. It's actually... poses in a yoga sequence are akin to notes in a song or steps on a mountain, like a certain song and a certain pathway. You remove one step and the whole system doesn't work anymore. Or you change a step and it's just going to change the course of where it's going. Now, and like having that metaphor on my mind when I plan my classes, when I teach not Baptiste classes,
yes.
Oh my gosh, it opens up worlds. It's really, really cool. So let me ask you this. Some have defined in the past vinyasa as like going with the flow. And I would see that as more like a, like just letting yourself go where the wind takes you and whatnot. How is that different than vinyasa? And is there any part of vinyasa that is about quote unquote going with the flow and like letting go of control? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And it's a challenging question. If you are the person who is setting up the vinyasa for others, then there has to be a mindfulness about where you want them to land.
Yeah.
When I'm a student in a vinyasa class, there is a piece where I absolutely have to let go of control. I can have an eye to maybe where we're going. Mm. But it's also like if I've never climbed a mountain before, then I'm just following that path. And if it's switchbacks, I cannot see the top. Mm. So all I can do is just follow. And sometimes I can see a little bit up the trail. Sometimes you get viewpoints along the way.
Yeah.
So if you're the guide, you've been to the top of the mountain. So you know where the trail is going. And you also have, because you've been up the mountain, you know, like the places where it'll get difficult, where maybe you need to slow down. Yeah. You can watch people and see when they need a break. So I would say like as the guide for vinyasa, if you've been there before, then there's a lot of mindfulness about how you're putting things together. And then there's also the observation of who's participating and how much they can take on at a time when they need a break, how much further they can go. Sometimes if you know, you guys guide treks, so you know, sometimes you're like, well, we want to get to the end point, but maybe we're going to have to pause here for a while and give a rest.
Yeah, and drink ginger, lemon, honey tea.
Exactly. Or whatever it is that you need. And that's the whole thing. Like vinyasa has also been described as sort of like it moves like a river, and there's that element of flow because you asked about being in the flow. So rivers, as we know, they don't always just rush. If you follow them far enough, there's going to be places where you eddy out. When you're in the vinyasa practice, there's going to be times where you're working really hard to get stronger in certain places, and there'll be other things where you can really just flow through.
Yeah.
So it's that combination, I think, both of being in the flow and just letting go and allowing it to happen. And then there's the piece where it's like, okay, hunker down, pay attention. You got to be on it.
It's kind of like whitewater rafting. Like,
absolutely.
Time will only take you in one direction. Sometimes it's real rough and sometimes...
real rough.
Whoa.
Right?
Time will only take you in one direction.
Oh, that I is really true. Want a whitewater raft now. I've never
Let's
done it.
Let's do it.
Have oh, you? It's incredible. Yes.
Thrilling. Yeah,
it is. Absolutely
I will
thrilling.
Learn all the lessons of life. Yay. Only one little river ride.
Yeah.
You do bring up a great point, which is the vinyasa has a very important element of sustainability.
Absolutely.
And completion.
Absolutely.
It's not just, you just go. It's not like you just go, well, I guess take a break. It's very intentional, very mindful.
And cyclical, I would say too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You like we use that word vinyasa just for like the transition of, yeah, right, plank, up dog, back to down dog. Mm-hmm. And that is going on throughout the practice as sort of a way of sustaining heat or keeping effort or keeping attention. So there is always that sense of flow, that sense of movement, the pause, the moment to create strength.
Yep.
And that combination of building sort of strength and mobility, building strength and mobility as they come together is that ultimate expression of yoga, which is being able to be fluid and stable, or to be strong and soft, to bring those two things together.
Sthira Sukha.
Sthira Sukha Asanam, bringing them all together. Absolutely.
Spork.
Sporky spork.
Sustainability.
Sustainability.
Talking about vinyasa. Oh, here was the question that popped into my head when you upon this topic that we're on right now. So as the person leading others through vinyasa, right, there's the wisdom of the leader and being able to then watch and still be able to adapt, yes. What about in parts of life? Like, sure, we can metaphor it on the mat and also off the mat, parts in life, of like achieving some shape or some form or some goal that I don't know, like no one's ever done it before. Mm-mm. Like something that's never ever been created before, at least in that iteration of it. And I'm leading myself, like instead of leading others, it's me leading me, I guess sometimes interacting with others, but me leading me to that place. How would then one, like what is your advice to someone doing that in the vinyasa of their life? Like what would be a great method in your eyes for that person, or practice in your eyes for that person to be in while they're attempting to achieve something that they don't know what it looks like?
Boom.
Yeah. You're welcome for such a great question.
Thank you for such a great question. How do you move towards something you've never experienced before?
Mm.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so in the yoga practice, if I were going to attempt something I'd never tried before, the first thing I would do is look and see what about it is similar to things that I have done before.
Yeah, like Bird of Paradise is side angle, but all stood up.
Exactly, exactly.
But all stood up.
So in that way in life, I actually just had an experience of this recently, going to Kenya and leading a training in something that I'd never really trained people in before. And had that sort of overwhelmed feeling of like, what am I doing? Of all the things that I'm doing, I'm actually going to teach something that I don't know that much about. Yeah. But
wait,
I do.
What did you teach? I'm sorry.
So I was with the co-owner or the owner, a co-owner of Wanderlust Yoga. And we were leading a training called Rising Voices, which is it's a opportunity to help people learn how to tell their stories and frame them in a way that they can inspire others to follow their path or inspire others towards action. And so storytelling is something that I've been doing for a long time, but not in this context.
Ah, okay.
And one of our co-leaders who was supposed to go with us, who's like the expert at this last minute for health reasons, couldn't come with us. I find myself traveling to Kenya to teach something that I'm very unfamiliar with, even though I do have all these other skill sets. So moving, as you're saying, how do you move towards something that you've never really done before and yet you're aiming for that?
Yeah.
Is to lean on the things you already know.
Yeah.
That would be my first step of advice. So if you're moving towards something, there's something in you that's calling you towards it, which means there's some foundation for it in life.
Would it be like almost a magnet? You are a magnet and that thing is I don't know how magnets work.
Yeah. I don't know how magnets work, but I would say it's like we never conceive of something or want something that we aren't, in my opinion, that we aren't meant to go towards. It just wouldn't have an appeal if it's not a direction that we're meant to go.
Got it.
And along the way, you develop skills, but also there's always something in there that you already know how to do. So maybe the number one thing that you know how to do is to take steps in the direction of something, even if you can't see what it is, right? So it's like, okay, where's my foundation for trust in this?
Yeah.
And how do I lean on that and then take one step at a time?
Yeah.
And I really, in my life anyway, and everyone that I've witnessed, when you are moving in the direction of a goal that is like being pulled out from the inside out, like there's a way that you're wanting to express an outward journey that is where your inner journey has prepared you to be.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on that journey, help always shows up.
For sure.
Oh, non-attachment.
Exactly.
Yes.
And trust. There's when I first began yoga, I had to put my trust into teachers that knew all this stuff, and something in me was just like, keep putting one step forward, one Surya Namaskar A down, like 107 more to go.
Exactly.
And so it could almost be as if, spork, it could almost be as if.
That was so intense.
Thank you. Life or God or the infinite spirit within us all is the teacher I must trust at some points. And I know to put one step forward and continue this thing and really like, I've got to be looking for and listening for like clues and signs. Like, oh, it's this direction, this direction, this direction, by listening to my quote unquote teacher.
Absolutely.
Mind blown.
So I was listening to an audiobook on my flight back to Houston last night, and it's called How Women Rise. And it talks about women in the workplace, and it's got these two authors, which I can't remember their names. They're professional coaches. They've done this psychology studies and, you know, the whole nine yards. And there was one point when the author was saying that when they studied male public speakers versus women, the majority of male were just like, you know, I've done this before, whatever. Like, even if it was a topic they were unfamiliar with, they were like, I got it. I'm awesome. It's fine. I know how to do this. Whereas women studied, they prepared, they practiced, and they were very diligent about how they worked. And one of the key things and one of the key takes away that this woman had was, sometimes you just have to let go of that control and just know that it's going to be okay and it's going to be great. And that way it's a lot easier to engage with what's outside, whether it is, you know, I don't know, people, your audience, students, other people in your life, it's a lot easier to engage when you've dropped that it needs to go according to script.
It's like the sukha of the sthira sukha.
Yeah, and exactly. It's also that piece, that question you asked earlier about, like, do you plan it or are you in the flow?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have both.
Yes.
Absolutely. But this idea of, like, to be in the flow, what do we have to let go of? A big part of it is the planning, is the control, and is just then stepping into the flow. And when we talk about, like, the flow state, it's a little bit about what you're saying. Like, there's a level where if you want to really get into that flow state where everything is unfolding, there's some practice that comes before, some preparation that comes before. And then at some point, all the things that got you to the place where you are the things you have to let go of to just be there and really be in what's moving under.
There's another book. Actually, another business, well, tends to be used in business. It's called What Got You Here Won't Get You There Where You Need to Be.
Oh, I see it as like, I've got to have a ladder to take me up, 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 up. And if I just like keep gathering a bunch of ladders to like go up, 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 well, I'm just going to end up with a big place full of ladders. So like, I've got to like use a ladder and be like, ladder for sale and get rid of it and then go get another ladder to get me somewhere else. Okay, this makes sense in my,
all I keep picturing is our apartment just full of ladders.
And that would be awful. We have no space to move.
The cats would love it.
Yeah. Well, it's like your yoga practice, just coming back around to this idea that there's certain things you have to learn in order to get to a place in yoga. And then at some point you have to let go of those things in order to learn something else. Mm. And the foundational things that you learn at the beginning that help you get the basis of your practice, at some point in order to evolve beyond that, you let go of like the rules of yoga. It's almost like sometimes you have to have those basic alignment rules in order to get into places inside of your own body and in order to build a certain level of strength and stability. Mm-hmm. And then to take it to the next level, actually let go of that and then go into the experience of being in the pose. And then following that movement becomes more of the intuition. And you're no longer thinking, is my front knee bit at a certain degree? Are my arms at a certain level? Am I all those things that originally you learned with those little alignment techniques in order to get the basic shape? Then you let that all go because the shape is already there and it's alive. And within that breathing, moving experience of the pose, the next pose happens.
In my practice, I've noticed that I could go to yoga every day and I get really strong, really strong. And I'm like, oh my God, I got this. Like 90 degree angle. You know what I mean? Like, I got this. This is awesome. I'm doing so great. And then I get injured or something happens, or I get sick. Something happens that takes me out of that regular practice and I'm off, or I have to be off because I have to take care of myself. And when I come back, I don't feel quite as strong, meaning I don't know that I can, you know, just stay in crescent lunge for like a million minutes. Mm-hmm. And something about knowing that I need to adjust and knowing that I need to let go of, I don't need to get the post quote unquote right. That's so liberating and actually more enjoyable. And I feel like I get more out of that practice than.
Yes. And that's that piece where I'm like, oh, and when you take that into life, a lot of us can sort of be living life as in I'm going to nail the pose, right? Mm-hmm. Like I got the job, I'm doing the thing, I've got this, I've got that, I've got this. And it's that security and that stability that gets so invested in that misses out on the experience of life. Mm-hmm. And as inevitably always happens, just like in the practice, you can get injured, you get sick, something happens in life, all of a sudden it stops being about just like nailing the pose because a challenge just got thrown your way.
Mm. Yeah.
And then
you're climbing
more
a
in
mountain
it.
And the steps that you thought were going to be like that, landslide. Yeah. So different steps now and still same like vision toward the end, right?
Yes, absolutely. And not only that, but it's like, hey, instead of these very secure steps where I know exactly where I'm going, I'm following this path. Now I'm like, I just know up is the way that I need to go. Mm. And I may have to wind around a little bit to get there. But I'm also having sort of a different experience of just really being there on the mountain versus following the path that was already laid out for me.
Mm. Love it. You know, one thing I'm taking away from this episode personally, and one of the last things I'll say about vinyasa, because we are nearing the end. Oh, no.
Oh.
There I go again. Okay. Is that vinyasa, vinyasa to the other side, or we're like, okay.
Vinyasa is even down dog.
Vinyasa back to down dog. Yeah. Like, there's that vinyasa that always gets ingrained into my head. And then I would equate vinyasa with, it just means go with the flow. That's really only like one half of the circle, because the other half is placed in a special way and then be able to go in the flow. And when I stop and look at, okay, I'm in my yoga practice. I know I'm going to do dancing warrior sequence. So I'm going to do warrior two, reverse, side angle, back to topless, and then chaturanga up dog, down dog. If I go slow enough, though, all of the transitions between all of the poses, like if I go slow enough, then there's really infinite poses.
Absolutely.
There's really infinite steps. And vinyasa really is about the infinity of it all to me. And that's, since the steps leading to my goal is like, could be like an infinite amount, there's really an infinite amount of rich experiences and lessons that are available to me if I'll simply just pay attention while I'm in the flow. That's what I've gotten from this very illuminating discussion. Mm. Gia, thank you.
so beautifully wrapped up and brought around.
I teach yoga, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Shavasana.
Question, absolutely. Where do the ladders fit into that?
I got rid of them. I don't know.
No more ladders. You're just now climbing.
Yes.
Got ladder it. Free.
I'm floating in space.
Yeah. Ooh.
Infinite space. Well, let me hear from you guys. What is one last thing you would like to say to yourself or to the listeners or to, if someone's dog is listening, you're a good boy. You're a good boy.
Oh, my God.
I always think about pets listening to us. Is that weird? Okay, anyway, go ahead.
No. One of the things that I think it's important to mention is, and it's this concept that we talk about in Baptiste, which is be a yes.
Mm-hmm.
Be a yes, absolutely. Be intentional about how you move, when, where, and with who. You know, all that stuff. And it also includes there's at some point you have to say no.
Mm-hmm.
There's things, and even as Baron says, they remove the rocks and all these things. That's also important, and it's also an important part of flowing, which no already sounds like it's not.
Well, it's like the walls of the
container
side of the river. Like it keeps the river contained.
Exactly. And when the banks get tight, then the river flows faster. When the banks get wide,
yeah,
then there's more space. Mm. And it's the same river, whether it's flowing fast or it's going slow. I mean, for me, like my motto about yoga is, yoga is the art of becoming who you truly are. Mm. So we're never trying to become anyone different. This goes back to the very beginning where it's like all learning is actually just remembering. Yeah. And to me, that's the beautiful thing about the art of vinyasa is like practicing in a way that we come back to the truth of ourselves, practicing in a way that we see the layers that aren't who we are as we're practicing. Oh, wait, I'm feeling out of alignment. That's not me. And being in life and being able to say, wow, this, whatever's happening, this is out of alignment for me. And can I come back to my breath and my path and keep going?
Yeah.
So I think to me, vinyasa is that. It's the art of putting in place what we need to keep coming back to the truth of who we are, to keep taking steps in the direction of what keeps showing up as the most important thing for us.
Mic drop.
Hmm.
Thank you so, so much. It was really big deal that you're on the show. I just want you to know that.
Like, really big deal.
Well,
we're not just saying that because the mics are on. We very much mean it. It's a very big deal that you agreed to do this. Since sometime last year, we're like, we have to get Chiaconda on the show.
It was after the 300 hours. Just like, how do we do it?
Yeah.
How do we do it? We need to plan it. I know she's going to come back to big. I'm like, we got to figure this out.
Well, that's so amazing. And I was excited. I was listening to episodes on the way here. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to be on the show. So thanks for having me.
Yes.
Amazing.
The tens of our fans will love you. No, I'm just kidding. We have way more listeners than that. We're in the hundreds right now. So I think
that's amazing.
Pat on the back, BYO blanket. We have reached the end of the episode.
It's the end.
If you're still listening right now, give yourself a pat on the back.
Good job. High five.
Yeah, you have shown that you can stick things through to the end.
Says a lot about you.
If there is a dog with you, hi. Hi, puppy.
Hi.
Hi. Oh,
you're good boy.
and that's the end of the episode. We would love to have you back on at some point in the future.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Wonderful. Yeah. I'd love to come back.
And talk more about more things. You seem incredibly wise about a variety of topics, and we're so happy that we got to talk about vinyasa today. I just got so much out of this conversation.
I know. I loved it.
Great.
I really did.
Also, how awesome is this studio?
This studio is incredible. This place, Sassafras.
Studio Sassafras.
It's got some sass. It's a beautiful space.
We always plug John Edwards' studio. He is the owner of Studio Sassafras. He puts on the show, produces it for us. It is a great place to record music, to record a podcast, to get music composed for all the stuff that you do.
I always say audiobooks, too.
Oh, yeah, and audiobooks. Duh. StudioSassafrasMusic.com. Or Studio Sassafras Music on all the social media channels.
Follow.
And you can find Gioconda at
GiocondaYoga.com.
Yes.
That's GIOCONDA yoga.com.
Yes. How do you spell yoga? Just kidding.
O-M. Just kidding.
Okay, so geocondayoga.com. Anything else? You like to plug?
The grams? No, I've got some journeys coming up. I know Sarah Montrose has been on the show before.
Yeah, she
and I have a trip to India.
India.
Yeah, the October trip is sold out, but we have a trip in March, which we're
hoping to make it.
Oh, gosh, that would be amazing.
This is through Live Alive Adventures.
Adventures.com.
Yes.
And yeah, it's going to be an incredible trip. 10 days, northern India, three
amazing
cities, everything included. It's going to be an awesome journey.
I don't think I can make the trip.
Oh, yeah, no. She works.
I do work.
I'm a yoga teacher, so I just go with the flow.
All right,
that's your vinyasa.
It's my vinyasa. Vinyasa forever.
All right, yogis.
We're signing off.
Blanket ninjas.
We love you guys.
Go with the flow.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.